It got to the point where within about 90 minutes, I could get half that route done easily, no problem. Because you knew where things were. You got that experience that you needed. And the same is true here. When it comes from the doctrine of Christ and the Word of God and spending time in these things, the believer learns. Dear believer, it is vital for you in your walk with God to know more about Him. It's a benefit to your soul. Spend time in His Word. Spend time reading. Spend time in prayer. Spend time under the preaching of the Word of God.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church. I'm Pastor Andrew Fitton, and I'm delighted to welcome you to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need.
Again, Christian who has a new beginning in the Lord Jesus Christ lives by faith in the fullness of the Spirit of God. And that was the substance of what we considered last Lord's Day and what we will continue to consider tonight. We looked at the wonderful supernatural event of the day of Pentecost as we see in Acts chapter 2 and what happened at the end of the preaching, and how these souls, 3,000 souls, were added to the church of Christ. 3,000 souls experienced a new beginning, and their lives had changed. Their lives had truly changed through the power of the Spirit of God, and so they live for the Lord Jesus Christ. And in our reading, we come into that. They lived for Christ. They were steadfast in the doctrine of the apostles. They were steadfast in the truth of God. We saw that in verse 42. And we emphasized the importance of new doctrine, of standing for the doctrine of the Scriptures, for believing it, understanding that there is sound doctrine and there is false doctrine. And we are reminded in the Word of God that, as Paul says to Titus, the same thing applies to those within the church of Christ, those who speak the word of God, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. And the church of Christ is a place where the truth of God is preached, where it is set forth. The church of Jesus Christ holds to the truth, believes the truth, and proclaims the truth. And, of course, the believer found within the church continues steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in the truth of God. This was something that flowed from their salvation. It is expected that new believers know the truth and hold to the truth that is founded upon Christ, the truth that fixes their sight, the truth that changes their lives. We considered as well the importance of fellowship.
You've been listening to Above the Throne of God Above. This is Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton. Welcome to our program today. And we trust that our ministry here will be a blessing to your soul. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, speaks of the day of Pentecost. There were those that heard the word of God being preached. And they repented from their sin, being new Christians. They desired to live for the Savior. And at the end of that chapter, we are reminded of how they lived their new lives. The Word of God tells us, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Believer, are you living for Christ? Are you desiring to live by faith in the fullness of the Spirit of God. We're going to go to our pulpit in Cloverdale for the next part of that message, living by faith in the fullness of the Spirit.
Is to have a desire to obey the command of Christ. And the sacraments are the commands of Christ. They are commands that God has given his church, that Christ has given his church, that Christ has given every believer. We are to remember his death till he come. We're to come around the table of the Lord and examine ourselves. We're to come around the table of the Lord and remember the death of our Savior and live our lives in light of what he has done and accomplished for us on Calvary. But we are also, and this is where our focus is this evening, we are to be baptized believers. We come to believers' baptism. That's our third thought under this. And we have the steadfastness in truth. We have the priority of fellowship. We have believers' baptism. We find in verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. What is baptism? It is a confession of faith. It is a sign of the covenant of grace in which the Lord has brought us into. We have an open position on baptism as a denomination. We're open on the subjects, whether that be infants, whether that be believers. We're open on the mode, immersion, sprinkling, pouring, those modes. And so for every member, it is within their right to decide how they would want baptized. It is up to their own personal conscience as led by the Word of God. And so, while we have an open view on baptism, coming to Acts chapter 2, we are going to, as it were, set aside that position for a moment, because we're dealing here strictly with believers' baptism. These 3,000 souls were converted to Christ. They'd never been baptized. They weren't baptized as infants. They were to be baptized as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the emphasis and the context that we have this evening is the baptism of those who were converted out of Judaism to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we find that there was a command in verse 38. Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Baptism can be a difficult subject. And when it comes to difficult subjects, we can sometimes set aside that difficult subject. We don't want to devote the resources within our minds and our time to understand that subject. And so the default position that many can have is, well, it's difficult, it is divisive, and I can just set it to the side. I have been in baptismal services that have been conducted. I have been present, and I have watched and observed and been a witness to that baptism. And I have witnessed the baptism of individuals who are much older than me in years. Not only physically, but spiritually. They had been saved for decades, but had never obeyed the command of Christ to be baptized. And that is something that we can sometimes find within the Church of Christ. I know of an individual who was converted to Christ, and for 20 years she attended church and never thought about being baptized. It was never preached to her. And then eventually, as she realized, I need to get baptized. A lady who had been saved, I think, in her late 40s, early 50s, and this was 20 years later. And she was baptized and confessed Christ as her Savior. And there's something that we need to remember as believers, that being baptized is a command of the Lord. Just the same as we are to repent, and we are to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are also to be baptized. And dear believer, if you have never been baptized, you must give serious thought to being baptized, because it is the command of Christ. We are to obey the command of Christ to be baptized. And we should never forget that it is indeed a command. We said in the adult Sunday school concerning our baptism and membership course that it is not optional. And every professing Christian, truly born again by the Spirit of God, should be baptized. There is a neglect of this ordinance today. Many look at the dying thief upon the cross and they say, well, he was never baptized. He was on the cross when he professed his faith. He was on the cross when he turned and said to Christ that he believed. And the Bible doesn't say that they stopped proceedings to go and get him baptized. He died without being baptized, and therefore, that doesn't, it's not a big thing to me. I don't need to be baptized. He is the example that many follow, but yet he is an exception to the rule, to the command for baptism. We don't believe that baptism saves. The Westminster Confession of Faith says that it is a great sin to despise or neglect this ordinance. Nevertheless, grace and salvation are not so inseparably connected with it that a person cannot be regenerated or saved without it. Neither is it true that all who are baptized are undoubtedly regenerated. And so what the confession is saying is that it's a sin to set aside this command. But yet you can be saved without being baptized like the dying thief. But there are those who go through the waters of baptism who are not converted. They profess faith, but it's not a real faith. And so we have it both ways there, but this is the point I want to get across. There is a command. In Acts chapter 10, verse 48, Peter says, and he commanded them, Peter commands them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And baptism is a symbol. It is a badge. It is a confession of faith. It is a public acknowledgement that you are willing to live for Christ. It is not a secret thing. It is something that is public. It is something that is open. It is an outward symbol of a work of grace that has been done within the heart. The inward grace of being saved, of having your sin washed away, of being indwelt by the Spirit of God. It signifies a union with Christ through repentance and faith in Him as your Lord and as your Savior. And so, the example of the church here was that they obeyed this command. And dear believer, whether you're an old believer, young believer, there is a command placed upon you to be baptized. When there is that clear evidence of conversion, when there's that understanding of the gospel, when there's that desire to be a faithful witness for Christ, you should be baptized. It is a command that is not optional. But then, secondly overall, we come to witnessing. Witnessing. When we consider what it is to have a new beginning in Christ, the new believer is someone who has been changed, someone who has been converted to Christ, someone who's left their old life behind, who has left the world behind, maybe who has left their old religion and their old ideas behind, maybe someone who's left atheism behind. Here in Acts chapter 2, they left Judaism behind and they sided with the Lord Jesus Christ. They knew He was their Savior. They believed upon Him. They were seeking to grow. And part of that was being a witness for Christ. When we think of Romans chapter 10 and the verse 9, the apostle says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And there is that confession. When a soul is saved, there is that confession of Christ as Savior. But throughout their Christian life, they are not to be ashamed of Christ. They're not to be one who hides away their Savior, who doesn't want to be mocked or scorned by the crowd. But rather, Christ should be the center of every life. We can think of the demoniac of Gadara, whom the Savior healed. And he had that desire to go with Christ. He had been redeemed and changed, and he knew what it was to be healed by Christ. What a change in this man's life. That points to the change in the sinner and the saint. And he wanted to follow his Savior and be with his Savior and go where his Savior went. And Christ said, no, you can't come. He says, go home to thy friends and tell them the great things. Tell them the great things that the Lord has done for you. The great things. We're not to be ashamed of Christ. We're to understand that he has done great things for our souls. Dear believer, tonight, when you look at your life and what your life could have been, what your life perhaps was, and Christ redeemed you and saved you from that, can you say tonight, yes, I agree. My Savior has done all things well. My Savior has redeemed me and saved me. He has changed my life completely. I rejoice that in the depths of my sin and in rebelling against God and in breaking his commandments, he graciously stepped into my life and he saved me and he redeemed me and he lifted me out of the miry clay and placed me upon the solid rock. And now I desire to publish, like that demoniac, to publish the great things that Christ has done for me. If you've been truly saved and redeemed, do you not want to speak of Christ? Do you not want to tell of what he has done for you? On social media, you can often tell a sports fan, whenever their team wins something, what happens? Almost every post is that particular person posting this photograph and that photograph. Their team has done something they haven't done in 50 years. It's a time of rejoicing. It's a time to tell people about it. Christ is infinitely greater than a temporal, worldly thing such as that, is he not? Is he not worth our praise? Is he not worth our witnessing? Is he not worth us living for him, regardless of what others think? Putting him first. The witness, the believer who witnesses for Christ, must embrace the truth of the gospel. And we see that here in verse 42, because they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. If you are to be a witness, then you have to be a witness of something. If the court called me to be a witness in the morning, well, they're asking me to be a witness of something. They're not asking me to come to court and say, they ask the question, did you see this particular incident? And I say, well, no, I don't even know why I'm here because I never witnessed it. They know I'm a witness. They know I saw something. They want to hear what I saw. And the witness of Christ must embrace the truth. They have something to witness about. And how can we witness for Christ if we do not know the truth? If we're not embracing the truth? If we don't have that desire in our lives, in our hearts, as we live by faith in the fullness of the Spirit, to understand more and more about Christ? Oh, believer, do you have that desire to know more about Christ? This is a basic step in our Christian faith, like baptism. Understanding more and more of Christ, that we're able to witness for Christ. Witnesses must exclaim the truth. They must believe and bear witness to something. They have to tell what has happened. Oh, you might not know the great depths of theology. You might not know every single thing in the Scriptures, but can you not tell what Christ has done? That demoniac of Gadara went home to publish, to proclaim the great things that Christ had done for him. Christ had done things within his life, and he was to testify of that. He was to tell others. They knew what he was like. They knew his sin. They knew what he was engaged in. He was looked down upon in society. Now he was changed. That was clear. How did that change happen? Well, they would have had a listening ear to what Christ had done for this man. Witnesses must exclaim the truth. We're not to be ashamed of Christ and his gospel. We're not to remain quiet when we are to say something about our Savior. And witnesses must also be an example of the truth. And dear believer, as you proclaim the truth, as you tell others of Christ, you're to be an example of that truth. And how important that is being a consistent witness. Telling someone the truth, you're a sinner. And Christ has died to redeem sinners. And your life can be changed through Christ. But yet, as you walk away, gauging in sin, following after sin as if you'd never been changed yourself. What kind of a witness is that? The witness of Christ must be an example of the truth. And your believer then, that is why we're to be close to God. That's why we're to understand his truth and learn it and be steadfast. That is why we're to believe and be part of the church. That is why we're to continue daily with one accord in the temple as they did here, in the sense of coming together as the church of Christ, praising God, living for him, being close to him. All these things sanctify us by the Spirit of God, that we would be closer to him, that it could be said that ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men, that our lives would testify of Christ. Dear believer, does your life testify of Christ? As you go about your daily business, do others see Christ in you? They notice you don't talk like they do. They notice that you work maybe more efficiently or with less distraction than they do, because you're working to the glory of God. They notice that you don't go to the places they go to. You're different. And how many have turned round and asked why? I've had experience in the workplace. Why don't you talk like this? I've never heard you swear, as if something's wrong with me. And it's an opportunity to speak for Christ, to say something about him, to be an example of the truth. How important that is. How important that is. Our testimony as a Christian is to shine to all around us by our life, by our living for Christ, by our separation from the sins of this world. And witnessing points out very simply what Christ has done for us. Take everything we've considered so far in this series of A New Beginning. How God sees men. God's way of salvation. How you can receive Christ as your Savior. The assurance of salvation. New creatures in Christ. All these truths from the foundation. They form the foundation of our witnessing. Because they form the foundation of why and how we can be saved. They form the foundation of our witnessing because they form the foundation of why and how we can be saved. And that's another reason to listen to the gospel and understand the gospel. We're not just coming to hear a message we believed and we don't need to pay much attention to it. But as we hear the gospel preached, we learn more about the gospel. We learn how to explain the gospel. We learn how to present the gospel. We learn how to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear believer, are you a witness for Christ? Are there those in your mind now that you can think of? I've witnessed to them. Or perhaps I can witness to them. They're lost in sin. They know nothing of Christ. I'm in their life. I'm a family member. I'm a colleague. I can speak a word for the Savior here. I can reach these individuals for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Spurgeon takes us to Daniel chapter 5 and the verse 27 today. Thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. It is well frequently to weigh ourselves in the scale of God's word. You will find it an holy exercise to read some Psalm of David, and as you meditate upon each verse to ask yourself, can I say this? Have I felt as David felt? Has my heart ever been broken on account of sin, as his was when he penned his penitential psalms? Has my soul been full of true confidence in the hour of difficulty, as his was when he sang of God's mercies in the cave of Adullam or in the holes of Engedi? Do I take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord? Then turn to the life of Christ, and as you read, ask yourselves how far you are conformed to his likeness. Endeavour to discover whether you have the meekness, the humility, the lovely spirit which he constantly inculcated, the lovely spirit which he constantly displayed. Take, then, the epistles, and see whether you can go with the apostle in what he said of his experience. Have you ever cried out as he did, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Have you ever felt his self-abasement? Have you seemed to yourself the chief of sinners, and less than the least of all saints? Have you known anything of his devotion? Could you join with him and say, For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain? If we thus read God's word as a test of our spiritual condition, we shall have good reason to stop many a time and say, Lord, I feel I have never yet been here. Oh, bring me here. Give me true penitence. Such as this I read of, give me real faith. Give me warmer zeal. Inflame me with more fervent love. Grant me the grace of meekness. Make me more like Jesus. Let me no longer be found wanting when weighed in the balances of the sanctuary, lest I be found wanting in the scales of judgment. Judge yourselves that ye be not judged. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help, or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091. Or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we are also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. Join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.